Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick. Welcome to this week's HopeCast with my friend Jen Houston, who is joining me as she does every week. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you so much for having me, David.
Well, today on this HopeCast, I want to continue in this series we've been doing over the last several weeks regarding what's going on, what's happening in America today. And I can't help today but reflect upon the obvious divisions that continue to divide our great nation. There are several examples that come to mind that express this division. I'd like to cover them right now. The first one is the 218 to 212 vote that happened in the House of Representatives just 10 or so days ago, when our House of Representatives on the Democratic side decided to codify abortion as a federal law, making this nation's approval of abortion alongside other nations' most horrific possible decisions. We are now alongside North Korea, China, and Cuba with the worst abortion laws in the world if this does indeed pass the Senate. Now, the good news is I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be dead on arrival in the Senate. It will never pass the filibuster rule. But on the other hand, to see that in our House there was a 218 to 212 vote shows me there's great division in our nation. Only one Democrat went from the Democratic side to join the Republicans in this vote. It is a Democratic Party versus Republican Party issue and shows to me the division that exists in our land. And it causes me great consternation because Jesus was the one who said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." Mm. The devil's name in the original languages means the divider. You can see him working in this way, our nation counterintuitively against one another on so many issues, this being one of them. And dear friends, let me tell you, please, to study the issue. And the question you must ask on this issue is this one: is that a life in the womb of the mother? If so, that refutes the whole narrative of it's my life and my body and I can do with it as I wish. I had a person recently ask me, well, with the COVID debate, we want to say it's my body. Why can't we say the same thing in the abortion debate? Well, it's not your body. There's another body, another life inside of you, and the mom is a host to that life, and I think is responsible for bringing that life into this world. We have a huge population decrease going on in America today. It's not only because of the 63 million abortions that have happened since 1973, it's also because people aren't marrying. Young men between the ages of 20 and 34, 70% are unmarried right now.
Wow.
And not only are people not getting married and they're not having children, we're going to have to face the reality soon of Social Security not being able to be paid out to the continuing numbers of aging Americans who are depending upon that. The social program that Franklin Delano Roosevelt initiated when he was president, called Social Security, was an understanding that we would never receive back all that we invested. It was a social program, a big safety net for all Americans to have something to rely upon. But the fact is they're going to run out of money because you have to have workers in the system in order for Social Security to work. And if we have 63 million who are not workers because of abortion, if we have millions more not being born because people don't want to marry and have children, we are going to run into a huge problem in the years to come. And this division is going to show America divided against itself. And what will happen ultimately is an earthquake of economic reform that we haven't begun to think through right now.
Well, I know over the last two elections, I remember watching the polls, you know, live as they were ticking in. And I have a photo somewhere on one of my old phones during each election. It was neck and neck throughout the entire night, 50-50. And I just sat there in awe of, like, our nation truly is divided.
It really is. And Jen, your attitude toward abortion is one evidence of that. Let me give another one. The $3.5 trillion understanding of infrastructure spending that the Democratic Party has offered as a part of its budget in the next years. What hits me in what Joe Biden has called Build Back Better is if you adopt this $3.5 trillion measure, what's going to happen is we're going to saddle your children, Jen, and my children and my grandchildren with an indebtedness that we, again, will have to face at some point in the future. And what's happening is we who live today are just looking at the now, at the moment, and we're not thinking in terms of the decades to come and what we're passing on to future generations. It's thoughtless, it's selfish, and it could be destructive for our land.
Well, speaking of destructive, I know that in these bills that they try to pass, there are all sorts of secret last-minute things that are inserted in here. And back to the abortion bill, I think that I've heard that that includes a special interest group that has inserted a line that said, well, this also includes the protection of children to be able to decide their gender privately with a doctor without parental consent as early as 11 years old. Is this true? Did you hear this?
I have not heard that, but it would not surprise me. Yeah. It's a part of a radical agenda that is the continued expression of the sexual revolution that began in the 1960s that wants to reorder our society, not only sexually, but in families and in our genders. And that wouldn't surprise me at all, Jen, because this whole bill is a radical attempt for government to take over. Mm-hmm. It's also continuing to give to middle-class citizens money not to work. And we know biblically, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, if you don't work, you don't eat. Mm-hmm. Hunger's a huge motivator to get people to work. If you don't work, you are causing the destruction of a society and encouraging slothful, lazy behavior, again, that has no good intent for the nation itself. And whenever you start giving people free food, free lunches, free expressions of government takeover, you are simply inviting people to depend upon government. And I think that's one of the issues that's going on right now. Who is God? Is it government, or do we depend upon God through our hard work to give us what we may need? Here's also another truth. Historically, whenever the government gives money in any way, you never take it back. You never do. In fact, I would suggest today to listeners that when we talk about liberal versus conservative or progressive versus conservative, understand what those words mean. The word liberal comes from the French liberté, but also the Latin libra, which has an understanding of liberty, freedom. And the idea of liberals and progressives is to get away from social norms that have restricted us in the past. Conservatives, though, believe, by the very nature of that name, we want to conserve that which has always made our nation healthy and whole. Things like the family, things like hard work, things like personal responsibility. And you see the nation's divide over those issues as well. We have to stand forth in firmness and say, no, we don't want the government making the citizenry dependent upon gifts to them because, again, once you get those gifts to people, they're hard to take back again. Mm-hmm. People get accustomed to receiving free stuff. And interestingly, Edward Gibbon, who wrote The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, that monumental, masterful work years ago, one of the reasons Rome fell was the free circus. When the government started giving free food to the people and they didn't take responsibility for their own lives. We're seeing that happen in our very midst right now, and it's causing a lot of people consternation because they're not stupid. They do see what's going to happen down the road if we continue this path. Another example of this has to do with Terry McAuliffe, the Democratic candidate for the governor of Virginia, who recently in a debate with, I think his candidate he's running against, his name, Youngkin, he said it's not the parents' responsibility to educate their children. It's the government's responsibility to educate their children. Now, I think the left, the progressives, the liberals have always believed that. They don't think parents should inculcate their children, especially with religious, conservative, Judeo-Christian values. They want the government to do so, so that they can create automatons and robots who basically repeat the party line. The only way you can do that is to take that responsibility of parenting away from the parents and let the government educate the children. But no one's ever said it publicly before.
Wow.
I think it's been on the left, the liberal, let's take away that right from parents, progressive, let's take that right away from parents' side. But now it has been stated publicly. And it's largely because parents are concerned about what's being taught their children. To the point, again, yet another example, parents are now going to school boards more and more and objecting to critical race theory and other things being taught to their children, of the drag queen story hour where children are being exposed to drag queens in a library reading to them different stories. And on the left, they're saying that's okay. On the right, parents are going, no, that's not okay. I want to have input into what my children are being taught. And interestingly, President Biden has now apparently released the Department of Justice to go arrest even those parents who are objecting loudly at school board meetings. Now, never before has the Department of Justice been weaponized to keep parents from civil disobedience or civil objection to this kind of thought being placed upon their children. It's yet another evidence of the division that has happened in American life.
This seems counter-constitutional with the freedom of speech. I'm shocked about this.
Well, I think you're seeing it again with yet another example of COVID. You know, the government says, we know what's best for you. Everyone needs to get vaccinated. And now you're seeing organizations and corporations adopting that same mindset and demanding that people be vaccinated or they lose their jobs. Some evidences of people even becoming homeless and having to live on the streets because, for whatever reason, they personally did not want to be vaccinated. Now, what's happened is a lot of people just don't like the idea of feeling like they're being bullied. You know, when you're bullied as a kid, you either keep taking the bullying or eventually you stand up and sock the bully. When you do so, it's amazing. The bully does not like to be stood up to and he'll back down. There are a lot of Americans right now who feel, for whatever reason, they're being bullied into taking the vaccine. It may be that they should even, but the feeling of being bullied is keeping them from doing so. And that has never been a part of our American experience either. We've always allowed people their personal freedoms to do what they feel is best for them. There's no employment that I'm aware of that demands a vaccine for anything else in order to be employed.
Right.
Why this vaccine? It's another evidence of the divide that's happening in our nation and people feeling like the government is trying to intrude into my life, take control over every area of my life, and folks are just objecting. And again, you're seeing that divide that has happened in our nation.
Well, this is actually happening right here in our city. And I have a friend whose mom was in the hospital last week, and she was just about to be released. And the day she was supposed to be released, the hospital laid off all of the nurses except for one on the floor where she was. She got lost in the system. It was like a lockdown mode. And another patient almost died that day because of lack of care. How terrible is this?
Yeah.
How just not even compassionate towards the patients who are in the system, and you're just leaving them with no one to take care of them.
We've always had the idea in American life that we would come together and have civil discourse, sides expressing their beliefs, and then coming to the right conclusion after everyone has expressed their sides. That's not happening right now. No longer has that kind of classic liberalism being expressed in our society. What's happening now is what some people call illiberalism, where one side alone can speak. One side alone is right. One side alone has all the power, and people just don't like that. And folks of courage who remember our nation's heritage and remember patriots who stood at the bridge in Boston, for example, and said no more toward the British Army, those are the people who are continuing to object, and I think their voices are getting louder and louder. As we saw at some football games and other gatherings this past weekend, I can't say the expletive, but it said, blank you, Biden, and a big joke came out, I think, like of bless you, Brandon, or something
some
like that.
NASCAR driver.
Yeah, somebody said that, but everybody knows what was really being said. Mm. There's anger, there's frustration, which then leads to the question, well, what do we do?
Yeah.
And I think, Jen, we get involved. I think we don't sit on the sidelines. I think if we're parents and we're concerned about what's being taught to our children, we go to school boards and we object. And sometimes we need to object loudly. And if enough do so, that vote can be changed. Believe me, school boards look to the next election themselves, and they're only going to do what they feel like is going to get them reelected. So I think parents need to object if they need to. We need to vote. We need to get involved in the process of our government. And I think mostly we need to sit back and pray with great fervor that God would continue to bless our nation and somehow bring this divide together. Some people have even asked the question, are we headed toward a national divorce? Some people have asked the question, will we have red state secession? I don't know. I don't think that's what's best for our nation. Again, a nation that's united is strong. A nation that's divided is weak. But I don't know how we cross this divide right now. That does have a lot to do with people of faith who hold strongly to certain views, have a biblical understanding, a biblical worldview, and they are at odds with those who are more agnostic, atheistic, and simply don't appreciate in their secularism what a religious person holds dearly in their hearts. I would also say one final thing, Jen. Do you remember January of this year, you and I were sitting next to one another in the studio talking, and all of the election results were now in. We saw that the House of Representatives would be controlled by the Democrats by a very narrow margin, but nevertheless controlled by the Democrats. We also saw that the Senate would have a 50-50 vote, and Kamala Harris, the vice president, would break the tie, thus giving a very slight narrow margin of victory to the Democrats, but nevertheless, the Senate being controlled by the Democrats as well. And you and I were looking at that going, what does that mean for our nation? And I don't know if you remember this or not. I said, Jen, the two most powerful people in Washington are not Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or Chuck Schumer or Nancy Pelosi. The two most powerful people in Washington are Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, the senators from West Virginia and Arizona. Both of them would have commonly been called yellow dog Democrats.
That's right.
They are more conservative, and they are the fly in the ointment for the $3.5 trillion bill right now. If they don't get on board, that bill will never be passed. And both of them have said it's too much spending. It's passing on too much debt to future generations. It's just not right. So I told you, hey, let's pull up the seat, get some popcorn, and watch the political theater over the next 2 years until the 2022 election. Here we are, some 10, 11 months down the road, and isn't this fun?
It is fun. I'm so sorry I forgot my pop secret today, but yes, I do remember that.
Yeah, and it's what's happening. So I would just encourage everyone to pray, especially for those two people. I don't know where they stand in their faith. It's interesting. Both of them have said, I don't care about being reelected. Joe Manchin, when he was getting pressure from Pelosi and Schumer to adopt the $3.5 trillion bill, he said, look, I don't care if I get reelected. I'll just take my houseboat back to West Virginia and enjoy the rest of my life. And that's the attitude politicians need to have. It's not the reelection that's driving me. It's what's right that's driving me. So continue to pray for Senators Manchin and Sinema from Arizona is Sinema. And we need to continue to pray for all of those who are in authority over us. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And trust that God still loves this nation. Trust that God could still unite this nation. And trust there may be a revival, God's Spirit moving throughout our land that would bring us together and not be divided anymore.
I love this, David. And one tiny little reminder and encouragement, too, is just do the next right thing.
Yes.
Well, like if we're not elected officials and we're not called to that, just do the next right thing in our home.
Yeah.
And that's where it starts. I want revival to start in the home.
There you go. And if not us, who? If not now, when? It's time. Let's be involved. Everyone, thank you for listening to this Hopecast. I'm David Chadwick along with Jen Houston. I look forward to talking with you all next time.